We are in the Easter season, walking through Acts as the Jesus movement begins to have life beyond the physical presence of Jesus. The Acts passage from last Sunday to today jumps over what we know of as Pentecost, the descending of the Holy Spirit upon the Jesus followers. We will celebrate Pentecost in a number of weeks. But Pentecost for this community was the Jewish tradition that celebrated the harvest 50 days after Passover. It is one of three main festivals that brought hundreds of thousands of pilgrims to Jerusalem for a big celebration. This time was spent going to the temple, eating together, in each other's homes, living in community, and sharing with one another. And what set this particular Pentecost apart from others for the gathered Jesus followers was the mighty wind and the fiery tongues, this dramatic depiction of the Holy Spirit descending upon them. And they spent time together, sharing as each one had need. Peter and the apostles taught during this time and performed wonders and miracles, as it is written. You can only imagine that the kind of energy that this movement created was contagious, and new believers were coming forward daily. So this is the backdrop of our scripture today, where Peter and John go to the temple, attending the afternoon prayers. It is another day in the Spirit-fed living that they were embarking on. So the day itself wasn't that unusual. What was unusual is how they interacted with this man positioned at the temple gate. This man, who later in Acts is given the age of 40 plus years, was carried there by his friends every single day. It was a condition he had had since birth, as to say that nothing was going to ever change for him. And highly likely that Peter and John may have known who this man was if he sat there every single day. And it is curious that the friends just took him to the temple gate and not into the temple with them to pray. It is almost as if that this man was not truly welcome into the temple to engage in worship with others. And his presence was a reminder to the passersby that they were to take care of the poor. And so he positioned himself there, willing to receive what was given to him in order to make it in his day. The social, economic, and religious structures at the time were developed and maintained to value production, abilities, economic development, and religious purity. It valued ability over disability, some even viewing disability as an illness caused by present or past sin. We too live in a culture that has similar values. Although our facilities, technology, and medical advancements have made a difference in making our world more accessible, our culture and religious values all too often keep the disabled, neurodivergent, and those with social or mental health needs on the margins of our communities. This 40-year-old man knew a life of living on the margin. His existence very likely embodied shame. And so it is understandable why he did not look at those who approached him and just held out his hand. So I am struck by Peter's wisdom to ask this man to look up at him. It was a risk for both Peter, knowing he was going to offer something different than what the man was asking for, and for the man who was clearly vulnerable, not knowing what this stranger was going to be offering him. The eyes, the touch of the hand, this physical act of healing restored not only the man's lifelong disability, but his place in the social fabric of the community. For there he got up and he entered the temple gates with Peter and John, offering praise to God. Betty Pries, an author and recent keynote speaker of the Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminary Pastors Week, where I was at a few weeks ago, works as a conflict mediator with congregations as they encounter change and conflict. Her work has led her to believe that in order to work at effective change and transform conflict and culture, one needs to work on selfhood, increasing the capacity for transformation and healing as individuals and community. She offers three aspects of a personhood. The first is the defended self, the second is the descriptive self, and the final is the deeper self. It is in peeling back the layers of the defended and the descriptive self that one can get to the core, the deeper self, the core of one's being. And that deeper self is where the soul resides. We often uncover our hidden biases, painful stories, and patterns to get to that deeper self. This is the healing work that goes to the heart of who we are as beloved children of our Creator. In this place, we find our common humanity. In the Acts story we have before us, using this framework, the man born lame was living in his defended and descriptive self, not seeing beyond his disability and his prescribed role in the social and religious structure of his day. I wonder how it may have been different for him had his friends taken him every day to the temple to actively pray and engage in worship together. In any case, Peter and John saw this man's humanity, his worth, his belovedness. They saw to the man's deeper self, to his core, and following in Jesus' footsteps, they extended that hand of hospitality to him. And the man's inner faith responded in belief as he rose to Peter's invitation. Last Sunday, we discussed disability in our congregational conversation during the Faith Formation Hour. Disabilities are defined by what one can or can't do based on what the established norms are. Established cultural norms around us. So a disability can include anything physical, social, mental, and includes our emotional health as well. We know in our heads, I think, and I believe that each one of us knows in our heads, that a disability does not mean that a person is bad or not worthy of engaging with a community or with God. However, we do know that it is all too easy to form our communities, buildings, and communal rhythm based on a set norm around us. So we unintentionally keep others out simply by our culture and how we structure our lives together. So some questions for us to ponder. How does our community have established norms that end up excluding others? How may we nurture a culture where everyone is received from their deeper self as a beloved child of God, regardless of their abilities, their race, gender, sexuality, socioeconomic status, marital status, faith tradition, addictions, and the list could continue. How may we, as a faith community, offer the healing of Christ by extending a hand of hospitality and invitation to come and join us? A sure way to receive others is if we can ourselves receive ourselves. Receiving ourselves as a beloved child of God, fully whole, just as we are. We have done a good job as a Christian movement to motivate people into believing through fear and shame. In doing so, I believe that we have lost the deeper heart knowledge of our worth and the worth of others. So, friends, in order to recapture a sense of worth for others, we need to recapture it for ourselves. And so I invite each of you into an imaginative exercise. And if this doesn't connect with you, that's okay. Feel free to use this time for quiet reflection. But I would like to invite those of you who would like to engage in this reflective exercise to close your eyes so as to let go of some of the distractions that we may have around us. And we can sink into a little easier our deeper self, where our physical abilities are all in common with one another. And allow your breathing to deepen as you relax into your seat. May your breath get slower and deeper. Each inhale and exhale. And using your imagination, think of one part, or perhaps for you, it's other or many parts of yourself that you often hide from others. You can envision them like sticks or rocks in a stream, or simply name them to yourself in the silence. And as you are aware of these parts of yourself, notice how they make you feel. Where you may be tense, or jittery, or uncomfortable. And just be with them. I invite you to imagine God's divine love and whatever image that takes hold for you, and invite this presence to be with you. In this awareness of divine love's presence alongside the deepest parts of yourself, allow your breath to deepen. Noticing how you respond. Noticing how divine love responds to you. O divine love, it is not easy to be seen in the deepest parts of our being. There's resistance, fear, cynicism that keeps us protected. Melt us, mold us into your liking. May you be patient with us on this healing journey, to see ourselves as you see us, your beloved ones. May our own healing increase our capacity to love our neighbor as you love them. Restore each of us in our shared humanity with your guiding light to guide us along the way. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn in your bulletin or to follow along in this on the screens our confession. May this be an invitation of Jesus stretching out his hand to you, and this our response. Spirit divine, you restored to health the man at the temple gate. Your power knows no end. We long for wholeness in our mind, body, and spirit. We wait for your spirit at our soul's gate to see us as we are, to love us into being, to restore us into wholeness. Open our souls to see ourselves as you see us, loved, accepted, and whole. May the risen power of Jesus rise within you, hope, joy, and resilience of faith. Amen.